Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at nashvillepublicradio.org.
Hey, Buster, keep yourself from feeling blue, because it'll be your way of showing how you really know what to do.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, scored to the engaging sound of the Blue Four Trio and replete with stories from our deep, dark pasts.
My date to the senior prom, her mother had taken the picture of the two of us, and there we are standing side by side, me and my date to the senior prom. You cannot tell by looking at that girl's face whether she is going to the senior prom or the electric chair. You cannot tell.
We're that difficult game with words where the philosophy is, it's not important to know the answers, it's only important to like the answers. And the score, meaningless.
We're using the dopey decimal system here. We're giving her 6 points for sheer effrontery.
Get in the groove today.
With Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Israel is warning the international community against easing sanctions on Iran. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the election of a moderate conservative reformer as president is not likely to result in substantial changes in Iranian nuclear policy.
While the elections no doubt expressed a dissatisfaction of the Iranian people with their regime, I don't see it producing the genuine change in Iran's nuclear policy.
Netanyahu says it's not Iran's president who sets nuclear policy, but rather the supreme leader. President-elect Hassan Rouhani, however, is pledging to set a new tone in Iran's foreign policy. His victory touched off celebrations in Iran. U.S. fighter jets and batteries of the Patriot missile defense system will remain in Jordan after a joint military exercise ends this week. The Pentagon approved Jordan's request to boost its defenses, as NPR's Deborah Amos reports from Amman.
The Pentagon approval is a signal of U.S. military support for a key ally following a White House decision to arm Syria's rebels. Jordan has backed the U.S. campaign against the Syrian regime and has become a transit route for secret arms shipments and hosted a covert rebel training program. New weapon shipments by the U.S. are likely to come through Jordan, increasing the country's risks. The decision to place U.S. defense systems in Jordan has raised concerns for Syrian ally Russia. Officials charge the weapon systems could be used to establish a no-fly zone over Syria, a direct military intervention. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Amman.
Syria is likely to be on the agenda when President Obama meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin tomorrow. The two will meet in Northern Ireland, where a group of eight conferences is being held. It will be their first meeting since President Obama was reelected last November. The number of people killed in yesterday's hospital siege and bus bombing in western Pakistan has climbed to 24. More than half the dead were female students. NPR's Philip Reeves reports the attacks have prompted shock and outrage in Pakistan.
Flags in the city of Quetta, scene of the twin attacks, are at half staff. Shops are closed and condemnations are pouring in from far and wide. Two nurses and a doctor died overnight. They're being critically injured by a suicide bomber who detonated inside a hospital. The bomber was among a group of militants who stormed in, beginning a five-hour siege. Terrified staff and patients took cover as the gunmen traded fire with security forces. The siege began just as doctors were rushing to assist victims from a bus bombing at a nearby women's university. 14 female students died in that attack. It ended after most of the attackers were killed. A sectarian Sunni Muslim group reportedly claimed responsibility. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Islamabad.
And you're listening to NPR News. Phil Mickelson is alone atop the leaderboard heading into today's final round at the U.S. Open. Mickelson is seeking his first U.S. Open title after finishing as a runner-up a record five times.
I love being in the thick of it. I've had opportunities in years past, and it has been so fun, even though it's been heartbreaking to come so close a number of times and let it slide.
It's the first time Mickelson has ever had the outright lead going into the final round at Pennsylvania's Marion Golf Club. He's doing it as he celebrates his 43rd birthday. birthday this Father's Day. Mickelson has a one-shot lead over Hunter Mahan, Charles Schwartzel, and Steve Stricker. The NBA Finals resume tonight in San Antonio after a three-day layoff. The hometown Spurs and Miami Heat tied at two games apiece. Defending champion Miami is coming off a big win in Game 4 and will try to become the first team in the series to win two games in a row, as NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
If form holds in this strange, momentumless series, San Antonio will rise up tonight and win after getting clobbered on Thursday. That's the way it's been. Clobbered one night, clobberer the next. Although the Spurs have some genuine worries. Miami's big three, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, roared to life in Game 4, combining for 85 points. Spurs spark plug Manu Ginobili is in a slump, and point guard Tony Parker, whose whirling dervish style drives the Spurs, said yesterday his strained right hamstring still isn't healed.
My hamstring can tear any time now, so if it was the regular season, I'd be resting like 10 days.
But time is short. Tonight's winner will be one game away from a title, with the series shifting back to Miami. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
And I'm Joel Snyder, NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Says you, says you, says you, says you.
Support for Says You in Seattle comes from the good folks at KUOW-FM and the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, on the National Register of Historic Places and on the web at fairmont.com/Seattle.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. From the stage of Town Hall, Seattle, in Seattle, Washington, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. It's wonderful he's here today and away from that bad crowd he's been hanging out with, Tony Khan. It's a pleasure to introduce him, and a relief to know he's here, Mr. Barry Nolan. And it is joyous to be in her presence, as her laugh will shortly portray, Miss Garland Waller. And who is the captain today?
Barry.
Barry? Will lead. To my left, team two. She's an expert phraseologist and not a half bad marksman. Carolyn Faye Fox. She's a top flight connoisseur of poetry and prose. And tonight we'll take your calls, Paula Lyons. And he's got a record for eloquence, which hopefully will soon be expunged, Mr. Arnie Reisman. All right, who's the leader?
Paula. The captain. Calls.
Paula.
Our operators are standing by.
Correct answers are worth 10 points, so whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate, we always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. For 5 points, define, and for an additional 5, try to divine the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, to ramp up.
To ramp up, to rev up, to get going, to accelerate.
Yeah. More figuratively?
Energized,
or do you mean more literally?
To take to another level, to...
Yes, exactly, that's right. To increase, especially as preparation for engagement.
Go up to a higher ramp.
Where do you think this might come from?
From Evel Knievel.
Good image. Wouldn't doubt it for a moment, but no, that's not what we got.
A ramp up, is it a military term?
It is not, actually.
Does it have anything to do with ramps?
Ramp up. So well, it's not like aviation or...
We're going to get a lot of controversy on this, I know.
It's
but
not part well, of then. Rampart or anything like that?
Well, that's one of the theories, is that it really came from Rampart, and these were soldiers that used to attack by going up over the wall.
Right.
But
well, that's a good theory. Can we get points for
yeah,
it?
Well, yes, you will. You
we
will
buy
get
that
some,
one.
You will get some points, but that's not where they really think this comes from. They think it's right. much more modern than that.
Ramps as in onions.
Right, spring onions.
Yeah. That's, and you spring up.
Well, there is the French rampeur, meaning to which are climbing vines. So you know, you're really getting there. But there's a very modern origin for this. If
all
you can.
Right. Well, now that we live on an island, we see it often on a ferry boat. Does that help? Ramp up.
Anyone on the other side want to try?
See, I was thinking of Noah's Ark, so I'm way back.
Anyone in the audience want to try? No, not
nice yet. Idea.
That's a great one, good. A parking great. Garage. No. Yeah. No. Actually, what we got is this. It is quite possibly originally amp up, amp as up. In volume controls
volume.
From 50s and 60s hi-fi slang, and where the volume controls often displayed a graphic inclined plane to denote volume intensity,
yes.
moving up the ramp meant more hi-fi.
Like number 11 in
number
Spinal Tap.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you've heard now three derivations for this. I'm sure that...
Where's the R come from? Is it because yes, you can't you know, hear I mean, anymore? You thought it was...
I'm sure we'll get a lot of mail on that, and you know we welcome it. That's what we like.
Eight.
Try this one, Tony. Definition and derivation of the sun is over the yardarm.
Well, that's usually the last coherent remark that's made by the people
that's true.
Who use it. It means it's time to drink heavily to excess. And I think it's a nautical derivation. It has to do with the position of the sun, probably around 5 o'clock in the afternoon in East Hampton.
He's exactly right. I hate to tell you this. It's not 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's noon.
Yes, I know.
Oh, really?
Did someone say 5? I'm sorry.
A yardarm is the spar and a mast from which the sails are set, and they run high atop the rigging perpendicular to the hull. And when the sun is high overhead around noon, that's when you get it's over the yardarm, and it's Miller time. And that's when it's time to fire up. Well, yes. So 10 points for that. Try this one, Arnie, and I know I'm going to get mail on this one, but this is the derivation we found.
Sure.
Wingding.
Oh. Wingding.
Yes.
It's a party.
It's a party. It's a, yeah, it's a, right. It's
Lollapalooza.
The time to whoop it up and a lot of hoo-ha. But,
that's a lot of hoo-ha. It's a big
where
party.
Where does wingding come from?
Yes.
Is the question.
Two different
wingding.
Parts of the chicken, actually.
Yeah, right.
You have the...
Yeah.
Wing, and you have the ding.
It's a chicken elbow.
A wing ding. You got the 5 points for the wild and lavish party. That's what it is. Where might this come from? And I'm going to give you the hint.
It sounds southern.
It does. It sounds like it's from a dance, like some southern square dance.
Or doing the funky chicken.
How about military? Yeah.
It is exactly military.
Oh, it's military.
As in wings.
Yeah. As in wing is exactly right.
Wing-ding. So you get your wings.
So
you're almost. You know what? I got to give him the 10 points for that. It is military. Can you guess where this time period, what the time period might be?
Creation of the Air Force or something.
It is the Air Force, of course.
The Air Force. So.
World War II.
We got this dating back to the 1940s.
Yeah.
From its association with the Air Force Regiment or Wing.
Yeah.
Having a big party and alternatively going on a big mission.
Big mission.
Was okay. A wing ding. Now, I can't believe that it only goes back to 1940. That's what we got. So, again, I encourage people to write in and yell and scream
older,
and everything.
Yeah. Oh, good.
All right. Try this one, Garland. Definition and derivation of cummerbund.
Oh, I love those. They're the fabric, pretty belts that men wear with tuxedos.
That's exactly right. The sash like waistband.
It held me together as a teenager.
Yeah.
It's in men's formal clothing.
Okay.
Anything Indian from India?
It absolutely does. What? Very good. Can you?
I have no idea why, but I. It just sounded Indian. Kamar, Kamar Bun, Kamar, you know, Khyber, Kimmer.
You know what? I got to give them the 10 points. Very good, Tony, because it is exactly from Hindi.
From India.
It is from India. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen anything that would make you think that the derivation?
An Indian bar mitzvah, actually. It was
There was that sash-like thing that the Indians wore right around their waist that covered the where pants and shirt come together.
That's exactly, well, not only did they do that, and the tasseled ends hung loose, they were called kamar band in Hindi, which roughly translates as loincloth.
Ah.
So there was a
that
function
would go very
to
well
those
with
early
tuxedo, kamarbands.
Sorry. All right, try this one, Paula, and boy, are we going to get mail on this. Definition and derivation of daiquiri. Or daiquiri.
Daiquiri.
D-A-I-Q-U-I-R-I. Daiquiri or daiquiri?
Well, I think it's the first drink that made me throw up.
Well, that's certainly the derivation,
then. Yeah, very sweet and involves, I'm forgetting now, it's rum, isn't
rum.
It?
Yes.
Yeah. And, I think I was in Puerto Rico. I have no idea. But anyway.
When they did you start in Puerto Rico?
I think so. But anyway, so the funny thing, though, it's not, even though rum is closely associated with the Caribbean and maybe the Spanish language, it's French derivation, the word, isn't it?
It is not, actually.
No?
No, you're right to stay where you are there.
In the Caribbean. So what could it be from?
I think Creole, but...
No?
That's
no.
not...
Well...
Served?
No? Anyone have any thoughts up there? You're going to get, you got 5 points, obviously, for knowing where it is. You got another 2 points for putting it correctly
well,
in the Caribbean.
I wonder, is there any bastardization of Spanish in here at all?
No, that's not it.
The word is almost dairy-like. Is it coconut milk?
It is not. Anyone want to guess in the audience, where might this come from?
Dutch.
It's not Dutch, no.
German.
No. Well, then we're all going to learn something today.
Right. I guess so.
You get 7 points for your effort. Yeah. The story is told that during the Spanish-American War, Admiral Lucius W. Johnson led his troops ashore a desperately hot Cuban beach called Daiquiri. A local resident greeted him with a cool intoxicant, forever to be known for its place of origin. However, military records also show that Lucius W. Johnson may have been 15 years old at the time.
Oh, I see.
So perhaps the story is a bit apocryphal.
Wait, these guys were attacking as soon as they landed on the island. They were given a drink. All war is just not the way it used to be. It's
great defense.
Absolutely. Try this one, Barry. Definition and derivation of you may fire when ready, Gridley.
Oh, you may fire when ready, Gridley is the U.S. Naval commander in, was that the invasion of the Philippines?
It wasn't an invasion of the Philippines, but it was in the Philippines.
It was in the Philippines when they began the Spanish-American War, and they decided that they would just, as long as they were making war on things, they'd take the Philippines too.
And, of course, the meaning of it is?
Is when you are, we are at the point where whenever you feel yourself ready, just start right up.
10 points. Very good. Nice job. It was Admiral George Dewey the captain of his flagship at the Battle of Manila Bay. Yeah. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Blue Four Trio. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing Rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Barry's team.
10 points are up for grabs to Barry if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word glaikit. G-L-A-I-K-I-T. Glaikit. Folks?
Things start bopping, feet start beating time, swinging with the rhythm, singing with the rhyme. Everybody dancing, stomping on the floor. Love that locomotion, crowd cries out for more. Come on, mama, bear us all night long. If it feels as good, it can't be wrong. Get up off the chair, rolling with the left hand, thumping with the right, smoking on the bandstand, burn it down tonight. Come on, mama, bear us all night long. If it feels as good, it can't be wrong. Come on, mama, bear us all night long.
Our next live performance is in Port Townsend, Washington, Friday, June 21st. It's a community Says You to benefit the Clemente Course for the Humanities, featuring Says You team captains and local denizens vying for verbal supremacy. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. We hope you'll be there for an evening of wit and wordplay as the whole town turns out to support community education. That's Friday, June 21st in Port Townsend, Washington. A live performance of Says You.
Clothes are getting tight, clothes are getting wet.
Says You returns after this from home.
Farmers' markets across the state offer the opportunity to purchase locally grown, freshly picked fruits and vegetables with information about where food was grown, how it was grown, and even the farmer who grew it. Heirloom varieties, local favorites, and requests for next year can be made to these farmers. From now through August, Tennessee's fruits and vegetables are at their peak. Listings for farmers' markets across the state are available at picktnproducts.org.
Whether it's the Jackson 5 or Sister Sledge, musicians know that the family that plays together stays together. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kott. This week, Sound Opinions celebrates Father's Day with artists who've made rock a family affair. From husband-wife duos to sibling rivalries, it's the best family bands.
Sunday evenings at 7.
Okay, Father's Day coming up. What to get the old man? Something fun, quick, completely maintenance-free. Wait a minute. That sounds like Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You. Two volumes from our first two seasons, scripts from 40 shows, the ultimate way to occupy the kids on the drive to Elmira, and not a tie. You can find out more about this thoughtful gift alternative at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. And while you're there, why not contribute a question to the show? Because frankly, Phil and I are hitting a dry spell.
Come on, mama, bear us all night long.
That is the Blue Four Trio. That is Casey McGill, Matt Weiner, and Mike Daugherty. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it. Let's take a moment and thank our scorekeepers. That is Nathan Merrill, and on the occasion of his 11th birthday, Mr. Paul Purnell. Thank you very much for having us. Keeping the score.
Let's see if he ever goes out to be 12.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll remember he got a standing O on his 11th birthday. I wonder if he'll remember that. Thank you, Paul, for helping us. We have had a few moments with the word glycate. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Glycate, it brings to mind bad parenting. For example, a mother who will sit her child down and say, "You'll eat it and you'll glyke it." Because glycate means lacking good judgment.
Lacking good judgment. Mm-hmm. Is glycate? Could be that or something else, Sonny.
Well, it appears to be a slang noun. It's the act of flying off the handle. So it's, or losing it. A sudden outburst.
What? Say it again.
The act of sudden flying outburst. Off the handle. A sudden outburst.
Flying off the handle. That's a glycate.
That's a glycate.
It could be that. Or something else. Paula, what say you?
Well, it's something the late Steve Jobs would never, never understand because, you know, he was always inventing things we didn't know we needed and we adored them and used them forever. But this is actually the opposite of that. Plenty of them don't catch on, so a glycate is a useless invention.
A useless invention is a glycate. I've purchased many of them, actually.
Well, when I was a consumer reporter, I saw plenty of them.
Yeah, that's... A useless invention. That could be a glycate, it could be a sudden outburst, or it could mean just lacking good judgment.
Oh,
it means
you mean
one
like...
of those three things. And the choice, Barry, is yours.
Well, team, let's hear thoughts on glycate here.
I don't think it's an adjective or a gerund like lacking good judgment. That doesn't, grammatically, I don't think that fits. Useless invention, I like, if only for sentimental reasons. It reminds me of something my father lost all of his money on. It was a hand-operated cigarette lighter for a car. It had a pedal. You stuck the cigarette in a hole, and you kept on pushing the pedal with one hand while you'd be driving with the other until smoke started to come out from underneath. How he survived that, much less lost all his money, I don't know. I think useless invention.
I'm interested in hearing why he could have thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking at the time, too.
Garland?
Well, it feels right that it's useless invention. I can't explain it, but it... And I remember my mother flying off the handle and nobody talked about glycates.
But, yeah, what language would glycate be anyway? You know, where would it come from?
I think we're going with useless invention. We'll go with useless invention, and we'll pick Paula to win.
We're using the dopey decimal system here.
Yes, right.
We're giving her 6 points for sheer effrontery.
Paula, they're going with you. They're saying that glycate is a useless invention. Is that, in fact, what it is?
No, it is not.
Oh!
It is not. That was
so
good.
You're so good at that.
All right, audience, what do you think? I think that sudden outburst from the audience indicates, Arnie, that they think a glycate is a sudden outburst. Is that what it is?
No.
It isn't. It is not. Because glycate actually means...
You'll listen and you'll glyke it, lacking good judgment.
That's what it is. 10 points for Paula's team.
So it's a noun?
Okay, guys. Fasten your seatbelts and welcome back to Says You, Hall of Famer Gary Russell of Melbourne, Florida.
Gary graces our young season with a round we call compound connectors. If you place the phrase candy cane between the words cotton and sugar, it forms a word string. Cotton candy, candy cane, cane sugar. For 10 points, I'm going to give you... Ooh, that was a dangerous sound coming from the audience. For 10 points, I'm going to give you two words. What common two-word phrase would you need to put between them to produce a three-word chain? So to repeat that again, it was candy cane was the phrase, and you put it between... You'll hear the words cotton and sugar. And then you put candy cane in between there, and you get cotton candy, cane, cane, sugar. Just try this. I like these. This is when the radio...
I'm always glad you're first, Carolyn.
Yes. It's... All right, Carolyn, try this one.
Tootsie Roll.
I can hardly wait to hear the first word.
I'm almost willing to give her the 10 points just for Tootsie Roll. Try this one, Carolyn. What two-word phrase would you put between the words rice and wheel? Rice and wheel.
It's not bran muffin.
I don't think a roni works.
Rice bowl.
No.
No.
Rice grain.
Rice cake.
Rice cake.
Rice.
Oh, wait a minute.
Rice.
I know.
A roni is way off.
Rice aroni is not it.
Rice paper?
No.
Rice
good guess. Paper. No. Do not say it out loud. Rice. Does anyone
cereal
in the audience have... Okay, a couple of people have it. That's...
Got it, see?
Rice patty.
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 Wait,
patty.
Wait.
Patty. Wagon. Wagon wheel.
Hey, got it. Yeah. 10 points. I think Paula lost 8 pounds on that one. I really did.
Oh, if it were that easy.
You get it now, though, I think. It's rice patty, patty wagon, wagon wheel. Very good.
Either there are tears in my eyes or brain is melting.
We'll see.
That was an amazing, amazing event over there on the right.
All right, just try this one, Tony. What two-word phrase would you put between the words black, B-L-A-C-K, and knee, K-N-E-E?
Oh.
Black and knee.
Black jack?
Black no, tie. That's a good guess.
Black tie?
Ooh, no.
Black rock?
Swan.
Black swan?
No, black swan. Ooh.
What about me? What can we think of a...
Swanee.
Swanee.
Swanee River.
You know, I hate to say this. Okay. I might even give you points for that.
Black.
No, black and knee.
Trick knee.
Ooh.
Black something trick knee.
Black hat trick knee.
Black hat trick knee.
No.
You know what?
Well, that's one that works.
I got to give it to him. Yeah, that works. 10 points. That's not what I have. But hat trick is right. What did you have over there?
Magic.
Yeah, black magic. Black magic, magic trick, trick knee. I can't believe he didn't get black magic, but he got trick knee right away. What does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen?
I believe in working backwards.
Yeah, that's right. All right, try this one, Arnie. You're starting to pick this up. What two-word phrase would you put between the words instrument and garden?
Garden?
Garden, G-A-R-D-E-N.
Panel.
Ooh, there you go.
There we go.
Instrument, panel.
Panel show, panel.
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 Flower.
Panel flower.
Panel flower.
Flower garden.
Instrument,
panel.
Panel vegetable.
Panel.
Panel.
Panel game.
Panel show.
Yeah. No.
Panel show? Show garden?
Oh.
Panel garden, panel.
I think Tony just had a seizure of some variety. Let me see.
I don't know.
What is panel modifier?
I don't know. Instrument panel. Panel.
Panel green. Panel green. Panel.
Tony
green,
has panel, it. That's for sure.
Panel vegetable. Panel.
Yeah.
Panel.
You got the panel. That's right.
Panel wood. Panel.
from.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're going to get it.
We're not
water.
Getting it.
We're not getting it.
You're going to get 5 points for half
panel
of it.
Water, panel,
and I go to Tony.
Truck.
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 Is exactly
panel,
right.
Truck.
Oh.
Truck
garden?
Instrument
yeah.
panel.
Truck garden.
Panel. Truck.
Yeah.
Fellow
truck male.
Garden.
What's a truck garden?
What's a truck garden? It's where, right, yes.
You had,
gross,
you had to have been there.
It's a vegetable truck. It's a vegetable garden, and they called it a truck garden because farmers would put all the produce in the back of their truck, take it into the farmer's market,
really?
And sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. Never heard that. Yeah. Truck garden.
Truck garden. So that was a hard one, but good job. 5 points for your side. All right, try this one, Garland. What two-word phrase would you put between the words coffee and shoe?
Perfect for you.
That's, yeah, that's right.
That's right. Well, you can shop for...
Coffee and shoe.
Coffee mate. Coffee... I'm out of here.
Right.
Well, if you were to think of all of the Starbucks gum. Around here, you could say coffee, sea, horse, shoe.
Is, the, oh, is boy. The shoe something like gum shoe?
No, it's not gum shoe.
Horse shoe?
No. Coffee. I'm going to have to give you the hint, I think. It'll
snow
cost you
shoe?
Some points.
Rhyme?
Snow? Oh, snow is good.
No, with coffee, I think you got to start thinking furniture here.
Coffee table. Coffee table.
Oh, really?
Table.
Top. No.
Top.
No. Top shoe.
No?
Top shoe?
Coffee. Don't say it out loud.
Oh, top hat. It's top hat.
But it's table. Coffee table shoe.
Soft.
He almost said it.
Table.
Coffee.
Table salt shoe.
No.
Round.
I don't know if anybody's going to get this up there. Table. I thought this would be possible. Anybody up there? No.
No.
Audience?
Table tennis!
Table tennis.
Tennis.
Oh, tennis.
Oh, great.
Of course.
Coffee table tennis. Tennis shoe.
Okay.
Boy, you're getting them, Gary. You're really getting them. That's good.
Tennis.
All right. Let's try this one, Paula. What two-word phrase would you put between the words... Pine.
P-I-N-E.
And P-I-N-E, yes. Pine and cut.
C-U-T.
Mm-hmm.
Tree line.
Pine tree.
Line
tree
cut.
Line. Line cut.
Well, a line cut is, yeah.
Well, it's...
Pine.
A line cut was a way...
Is it tree? Is tree right? I mean, pine cone? No, it's not pine cone. Pine tree. Tree. Cut.
Well, anything is right if it works, but I didn't have that.
Yeah, I know.
Pine cone, pine tree.
Pine grove, pine bark, pine needle?
No, and this one I'll have to give you a hint, too, probably. I would think baseball.
Baseball. Oh, tar?
Oh. Again.
Sorry.
Heel tar. Cut?
Tar heel?
Tar heel and heel cut?
No.
No, tar.
A heel cut?
You can cut your heel.
Pine cone.
It's the end of the rye bread, the heel cut. You know.
Paper, tar, paper.
Tar, paper.
Paper.
Is right, tar, paper. Very good, Arne.
Woohoo!
Pine, tar, paper, paper cut.
I'm down to two brain cells.
Yes, you're down to two brain cells, I understand it. But I'm going to give you 6 points for it, if that means anything.
Well.
So very good for that. And finally, Barry, try this one. What two-word phrase would you put between seal, S-E-A-L, and steak, S-T-A-K-E? Seal and steak.
Seal like ar, seal?
Could be.
There are those sound effects
again. You could have seal, puppy, dog, steak.
He's closer than you realize.
Seal pup, tent, steak.
That's exactly right, 10 points. Nice job.
He didn't spell steak, did he?
Very good, you guys.
thank you for playing that round. That was a very tough round. And thanks again to Hall of Famer. And thanks again to Hall of Famer Gary Russell from Melbourne, Florida. Gary, always a pleasure to hear from you. Let's go on to round four, which is Barry's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word excise. E-C-I-Z-E. Excise. Gentlemen?
Where's that careless chambermaid? Where'd she put my razor blade? She mislaid it, I'm afraid. It's got to be found. Ask her when she cleaned my room, what she did with my perfume. I just can't lose it, I've got to use it. Lulu's back in town. Oh, I got to get my old tuxedo pressed. I got a sore button on my vest, cause tonight I've got to look my best. Lulu's back in town.
There are so many ways to enjoy, says you. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net, SaysYou. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back. Gary Russell of Melbourne, Florida, Ellen Koivisto of San Francisco, and Bob Bird of Birmingham, Alabama all have in common? Well, all have contributed questions to Says You and thus been immortalized in the Says You Hall of Fame. So if you too want national fame, send us that question. Dazzle us with cleverness. Confuse us to the point of curiosity, because that's the only way into the Says You Hall of Fame. There's no way out. The Blue Four Trio. We have had a few moments with the word excise. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, bear with me. Just a second on this one. Back in the days before brand names became as big as they used to be, Pepsi Cola was trying to compete with Coca-Cola, and so they had radio ads in different countries for Pepsi. And the way Coke dealt with it was to say, Pepsi means two Cokes. So every time someone would hear a Pepsi ad, they'd assume, oh, they must mean have more than one Coke, have two Cokes. Well, Now translate this into the digital world. We have iPods, you know, and iPads and everything. Well, there's a company that competes with them and fakes it, and they call them ePods and ePads. And people who've heard the term iPad, they think it's the same thing. So, to bring it all together here, e-size is a term, modern term, that means to turn something into its digital version. Why is there no one left in the audience? Where did they all go?
To turn something into its digital version.
Like, you know, e-size a ledger book into a spreadsheet.
Okay. That could quite possibly be it. Despite the look from Mr. Reisman, it could quite possibly be it. Or it could be something else. Garland, what say you?
Well, in Boston, in the winter, when it gets really cold, and as a professor, I get to go on a vacation sometimes that spring break, immediately go to someplace warm, have a drink with an umbrella, and I get comfortable immediately in this new habitat, but it is mine. So to adjust to a new habitat quickly.
Nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
To adjust to your environment.
Yeah. You know.
To adjust to a new environment.
To adjust to
new,
your...
New, old, it depends on how many times you've been to Jamaica.
To adjust to your new environment is to resize. That's what that could be. Or, Barry, something else.
To e-size is to expand dramatically. My jeans no longer fit comfortably because I'm no longer the right e-size.
Takes a little time to write all that down.
Yeah.
To expand dramatically is to e-size, to adjust to a new environment, or to turn something into its digital version. That is the choice that you have, Paula. What do you make of that?
Any thoughts, group?
Well, I think it's either Tony or Barry.
You do?
This time
so
around.
So you think e-size, you think this is a new word then? To turn something into its digital version. You
I
know
like
that Tony's digitally focused at all
yeah.
times.
Right. When I first saw the word, I thought it was sort of like, you know, to exercise through the web or something. But but that's it.
So it's not the opposite.
Digitally, yeah.
It's not the opposite of excise, I guess. You know?
So, no, I kind of like expand dramatically, even if that's not right. I don't know.
I like it, but I like Tony's better because I think there's more of a need for that word.
There is more of a need for that word.
Well, you know, now you're applying logic, and you and know these
16
never,
years of doing
ever
this show.
Make sense.
I'd vote for Tony.
Go ahead, Paul.
You?
But you're
Arnie?
The captain.
Tony, it should be, but go with it. I mean, what are you thinking?
I'm stuck between those two, so it's true.
I'll flip a bottle.
Well, let's just try that it is Tony.
Tony, they are going to go with you and say that to e-size is to turn something into its digital form. Is that in fact what it means?
Please fake a definition.
Ah, see?
That is not what it means. That was a bluff. All right, audience, what do you think? I don't even really think it's close. I think this whole audience thinks, Garland, that to e-size is to adjust to a new environment. Is that in fact what it means?
It is in fact what it means.
That's exactly what it means. Let's close tonight. Deborah and Ralph McCaskey of San Pablo, California, send us around we call smooshed cinemas. We often do melded movies where we join titles together to make a new title. The McCaskeys suggest a slight variation, titles not joined, but rather smooshed together. So from the clues provided, please tell me the title of these new smooshed cinemas.
Do you have an example?
No.
We're to throw out words or something?
Yeah, it could be something like an FBI agent tries to foil an unusual assassination attempt by Venom on his way home for Thanksgiving.
But of course.
And that would be snakes on a plane, trains, and automobiles.
What? What? What?
Isn't that right? Okay.
Snakes on a plane, trains, and automobiles.
Okay. Carolyn, American military misfits team with Canadian commandos to capture an enemy stronghold in fabulous outfits.
What?
I can't even write it all down.
Military commandos.
American military misfits team with Canadian commandos to capture an enemy stronghold in fabulous outfits.
English stronghold.
English, okay, fabulous outfits. Let's see. Let's start there.
Yeah, that's where you want to start.
Dirty Dozen?
Charlie's Angels?
The Dirty Dozen and fabulous
think
outfits?
So.
maybe.
Devil Wears Prada?
Devil Wears Prada is the way to go.
Something devil.
I don't think.
Dance with the Devil?
No, they got the devil. They got the Devil Wears Prada part of it. Mm-hmm. Any help from the other side?
It's got to end in devil.
Devil's Island.
Any help from the audience? The Devil's Brigade wears Prada.
The Devil's Brigade.
Sorry, Aaron, thought you might know that one.
No, I don't.
I'm glad the audience came up with it because we'd be here for a long time.
Okay.
Actually, you get five points for that.
Give them 5 points for getting the Devil Wears Prada. And try this one, Tony.
Yes.
The quintessential Southern Belle journeys to Morocco, gets kidnapped, and has to be rescued by Eleanor of Aquitaine. Now, is that a pitch or is that a pitch?
Is it Lion in Winter? Are we ending with the Lion? Or just Lion, the Lion in Winter?
Yep. A Southern Belle, the quintessential...
It's a road movie in there, right?
No, it is not.
Journey to Morocco.
Wasn't that horrible movie?
Gone with the Wind and the Lion in Winter.
There you go, 10 points. The quintessential Southern Belle, of course, is from Gone with the Wind, the Wind and the Lion in Winter. So that got smooshed together.
Huh.
Try this one, Arnie. A dashing space captain, falls in love with an ambitious young officer whose career soon eclipses his.
Oh. What?
I'm faking it.
Say that again.
A dashing space captain.
Dr. Spock?
Falls in love with an ambitious young officer whose career soon eclipses his.
Dashing space captain.
We're talking Star Trek?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And the rest of it was what?
An ambitious young officer whose career soon eclipses his.
Falls in love, Star Trek.
Kane Mutiny? No.
I think the other side knows this. I do.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
You got the
them.
Star Trek. You got some points going.
Ambitious.
Star Trek.
Oh,
9 to 5.
No. 9 to 5.
What?
There you go.
We'll
Can you think of a movie where a younger protege eclipses?
All About Eve.
No, that's not it.
No.
Not it. Okay. Can't think of another one.
No, I know the other side knows. I give you 5 points for Star Trek, and I go to the other side.
A Star Trek is born?
A Star Trek is born.
A Star Trek is born.
A Star is born.
Oh, wow.
So I think you're getting this. We're going to find out soon, aren't we?
Boy.
Try this one, Garland. A young Brooklyn man leads a band of disco dancers to fight zombies.
Saturday night of the Living Dead?
Fever.
Almost.
Saturday Night Fever of the Living Dead.
Well, Saturday Night of the Living Dead Fever, yes.
Oh.
That's there you go, Saturday Night of the Living Dead Fever.
Yeah.
Try this one.
That's what I was diagnosed with by my
doctors. Try this one, Paula. In a rousing tale, two British adventurers come to power in a far-off land when one of them impersonates a giant ape.
Man Who Would Be King Kong.
There it is, The Man Who Would Be King Kong. Thank you, Paula.
You're most welcome.
I mean, The Man Who Would Be King Kong.
And finally, Barry, stalwart pioneers face many hardships on the frontier while under the harsh supervision of a frightening mental ward nurse.
Oh, rat.
One nurse flew over the cuckoo's nest is the end.
Yeah. Stalwart pioneers face many hardships on the frontier while under the harsh supervision of a frightening mental ward nurse.
So it's one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
That's it.
And the first is a western, let's see. Stalwart pioneers.
Oh, yeah.
Wild,
say
wild
what?
West?
Wild, wild, one flew over the cuckoo's nest?
Just
the wild one. is it the wild
stalwart,
one?
A wagon train.
No.
It's the brave ones.
Not the brave, brave ones, no.
The bold one.
No.
The
stalwart ones.
Audience, what is it? How the West was won. Flew over the cuckoo's nest. You get 5 points for that, which gives you a total today of 85 points, and that is a winning total. Congratulations to this week's winners, Barry Nolenstein. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Shirley Bossier and all the folks here at Town Hall who help us every time we come out. And to Jeff Hansen, Arvid Hawkinson, Katie Mullen, and all the folks at KUOW-FM. Just a great part of this community. Sure, and Salkin do the writing. Luke Kerwald is engineering this week, and Zach Moore is hard at work senior year. So long tonight from Washington, where it's illegal to smash another guy's beer bottle with yours. And if you're going to commit a crime, by law, you must first phone the sheriff and tell him so. Thanks for the fun, and thanks for showing up, Seattle. See you next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.